Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Go To Food Podcast. We're obviously joined by an absolute legend in the food world, Amelia Christie Miller. I mean, your company, Bold Beans, it is absolutely everywhere. Every single chef wants to be a part of it. It's just incredible what you've managed to do. I was lying in bed the other day, flicking through Instagram, up pops the queen, Nigella. And she is promoting Bold Beans. Just tell us through that. Did you know that was coming? Did that take you by surprise?
We did not know that was coming. And it was like, we went crazy because Huge. It was such a big deal. Like Nigella, and it was as if we'd paid her what she was saying. She was kind of saying,
but you hadn't.
Bold Beans are gorgeous. And we were like, we all died. It was a real moment. Had no idea it was coming.
Oh my God. I assumed you knew.
Yeah.
Was it the Ocado? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, so Ocado pay for a partnership with Nigella. They probably pay her, I don't know, maybe $1 million.
Well, let's not ruin the fairy tale nature of the story. I mean, we're hoping she naturally
just went on. No, but this makes it even better.
Oh, sorry, carry on.
It does kind of make it better.
Okay, my bad.
Because in no world would Nigella just randomly post a video singing the praises of a brand that she should buy, because she should get paid for that stuff.
Sure.
But in this way, she selected us as one of the brands she wanted to support as part of her relationship with Ocado. So yeah, we kind of are still getting over it, to be honest. It's amazing.
You're like the hottest thing since Oatly. You know what I mean? You really are. I mean, everybody wants to be a part of it. Balsamic glaze in the 90s, Michelin star chefs, they couldn't get enough of it. Do you know what I mean? This is the kind of vibe I'm getting from Bold Beans. I can't look anywhere or any decent place and not see Bold Beans.
But maybe you're in the foodie algorithm.
Well,
the foodie algorithm.
It'd be weird. Yeah, yeah.
I would love that. No, thank you. That's really kind. That's really kind.
No, but honestly, it's quite incredible what you managed to do. Just take us through the initial conception of it all, because no offense, but if somebody 5 years ago came up to you and said, like, I'm thinking beans in a jar, water, salt, let's, you know, create a huge brand here, most people would be like, I don't know.
Yeah, and most people were when I did it. They were really disappointed because my previous job was working with chefs and restaurants. So I was working with really cool restaurants and really suppliers selling beautiful cheese and, you know, lovely rare breed meats and things like that. Lots of like sexy food. Mm. And it was after that, everyone, you know, like, oh, you're starting your own business, wicked, what's it going to be? And then their eyes like sunk when they heard. They were like, beans, like, do you mean coffee? It's like no, old school beans. But that's kind of what I love about it, is that actually they're so underrated, and that's kind of why I had so much passion to change that, because it was such an obvious gap in our food culture that we weren't celebrating the world's best food.
Did you cook a lot with beans back in the day?
Yeah.
So you're saying you were ahead of the time?
I wasn't ahead of the time. I just, like an old grandmother, like to cook a pot of beans every week.
But you're a chef, and that's that was a huge influence in me, on me for starting the business, was the fact that chefs were using beans in their move towards more veg-centric cooking. They were using pulses, legumes. They weren't using these like kind of fake ultra-processed meat alternatives that were like all the rage 5 years ago, you know, Beyond Meat and all of those. Mm. And I found like chefs and restaurant food really aspirational in my own cooking, and naturally, therefore, lent towards beans. But then on top of that, beans are amazing from like a farming perspective. And so I was also hearing it from the farmers, you know, why beans are so good for the soil. So they kind of, they naturally fix nitrogen from the air and put it into the soil, which means that you don't need a nitrogen fertilizer, which is chemically fertilizing the soil, which damages the soil. So it's like the most natural fertilizer ever. And there's so many issues with industrial farming, but beans are the answer.
You're making beans sexy. I mean, you sort of bougieing the bean, if there is such a thing. I mean, maybe make that your tagline. Maybe not. Who knows? But what I do want to say is, when did you fall in love with the bean? Because obviously, I read it was somewhere you were traveling abroad and you realized, actually, wait a second, I may not know many people around here, but I know the bean.
So this is the bit that everyone remembers about my brand story, which is really embarrassing, because it was actually, you know, I was working with all these chefs and food sustainability, and it was full of credibility. But when I had become bean obsessed from working with chefs and farmers and realizing beans were the answer to all of our food system issues, I was then like, right, well, how do I make people like love beans the same way I do? And then I kind of thought back to the time where I first changed my view of beans. And because I didn't like beans growing up. I thought they were rank. And
All beans.
I hated baked beans. Hated them. Really? They gave me like heebie-jeebies. Oof. Just really not good. And so I remembered when that time was, which was when I was at uni and I was doing a university exchange in Madrid, doing an Erasmus. And, you know, Yeah, yeah, RIP, exactly. And Madrid is an amazing city, and I didn't really have any friends because it's really hard being an exchange student. I had a few, but I was a student and all my lectures were in Spanish, so I spent my whole time just like falling in love with food there and, you know, experimenting with ingredients. And I'd bought some Spanish judion de la granja, which is this beautiful heirloom big butter bean. And one morning I was hungover and I couldn't bother to go shopping. And I was like, right, well, what have I got? Didn't have much, but I had these butter beans. And I remember trying one straight from the jar and it kind of changed my life. Well, it has changed my life because I remember even like closing my eyes in the moment to like properly immerse myself in there. And I was like, holy shit, that is so delicious, which is just not your experience of beans conventionally. And that was like, okay, that is the bean I need to find.
Especially on a hangover as well, the fact you could still appreciate how incredible that was.
Oh my God.
Just humble bean, because normally you crave grease, you crave bread, you know what I mean?
The bean has it all.
With a bit of salt, it's perfect.
Just quickly take us through Madrid though, like as a city when you were living there. Where were the places you enjoyed eating? What was the kind of food you were having?
Yeah, well, I mean, this was 10 years ago, but what I love about like a lot of European cities is that the restaurants don't change because, I don't know, they can stick around. It's not as expensive. Yeah. So my favorite, I love places like Bar Tomate. Really recommend that place. It's still great. I've been back and I've loved it. There was this little bar called Palma 60 and the ladies who run it, they still know me. And anytime a British person comes through the doors, they're always like, Amelia, are you friends with Amelia? And often they are like on my recommendation list from 10 years ago. And they just did croquetas, amazing gin and tonics, because the Spanish do incredible gin and tonics. And they would do buñuelos de chocolate, which are like these kind of really rich kind of chocolate balls, like coated in a sort of pastry and then deep fried. And oh my God. So good. It's honestly one of the best puddings I've ever had.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Dangerous, but amazing.
Really dangerous, yeah.
Have you heard of this?
No.
I think they're inspired, they're a South American sort of heritage, but I think he might have bastardized the recipe a little bit. Though. Yeah.
Well, before you sort of got into this bean world though, probably post uni, I'm guessing you were a private chef, right? Going in between Spain and Scotland, was it?
So I was like a chef, I'd say like a cook, a private cook for people. So I'd go on holiday with them. Private chef, I know exactly, I'm private chef.
I would
go on holidays with people and cook for them. I would do, you know, like dinner parties. I did catering. I worked at an opera and did their, like all of loads of their food.
What were you cooking? Take us through like a traditional...
I'd just do that.
Yeah, well, no, do you know what? That experience led me to realise I cannot be a full-time chef because I went insane. I found I was like lying in bed at night and like, you know, I was 20 at the time, rather than like daydreaming about boys, which I, you know, should be doing. I was thinking, okay, well, what if I put that with the chicken? And then I was like constantly thinking about it. I was like, this needs to be controlled. I can't do this the whole time because I'm an obsessive person. So I realized I wanted to work in food, but not be a chef.
Any disasters in the kitchen or not?
Oh yeah. Any
would stand out, like a family coming in and ask for a full refund or something?
Oh no, there was one time where I got scallop poisoning, but I was doing this kind of scallop ceviche and grapefruit ceviche for dinner party. And of course, that was what the client had suggested, requested. So I made it, and obviously you have to try for seasoning. So I tried it, and the whole way through the dinner, I was running to the loo and puking. But having to be charming and being like, oh, no worries, thank you so much.
And were then you serving this to them knowing that they were going to get ill?
No, so it was...
Yeah.
That's such a good point.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I have a scallop allergy.
Right.
But I developed it from a dodgy scallop.
You're going to die tonight, possibly.
Recall the bold beans. You don't know what.
I did have that anxiety though in the moment. I was like, really hope this isn't what everyone else is experiencing.
Everyone's gonna have this,
but no, they loved it.
But quite a cool life traveling around and just cooking, or not at all?
Well, that was throughout my university years.
Yeah.
But then when I left uni, I went to work for Gale's Bakery.
Nice.
And in their food supply, so I was supplying restaurants.
You love food supply chains.
Yeah.
Love food supply chains, yeah.
Well,
who doesn't?
Good work experience for you, yeah.
It's a good question. Who doesn't? Maybe people could text in.
Yeah, yeah. Leave a comment if you don't.
If you don't like food supply chains.
You partnered with a lot of famous influencers when you started the company and sort of chefs. Tell us some of your favourite chefs you work with, you know, providing beans.
I would say
it
comes down to like also who probably appeal to my style of cooking. So I love chefs who are kind of like veg forward, accessible, but also use exciting ingredients. So I love, you know, Sophie Weibird, Sophie Godwin, who is so underrated. She's written so many cookbooks.
Shout out to Sophie Godwin.
Joe Woodhouse, he's a brilliant chef that just like celebrates lots of veggies. But yeah, I could go on that. They're all so amazing.
Go on, try and get to
do
a top five.
Yeah.
I think top five would
okay,
be nice.
Okay, two more.
About Hugh Fearnley? He's doing your old your cookbook, isn't he? He's in your
Hugh's
cookbook.
He's wonderful. Yeah, Hugh has been a great support. I have to say, like, the biggest supporter for us who's been incredible and really inspiring for me on a personal level is Henry Dimbleby, who has, you know, he's a master at business, but also very engaged with, like, food policy and politics.
Is that Mr. Leon?
Exactly, yeah.
Brilliant, yeah.
But so he contributed a recipe as well to the cookbook, which is great. Yeah, like, you know, Thomasina Myers, hero, love her.
Yeah, Tommy, cool.
When you were growing up, obviously you were surrounded by wonderful food. I can imagine becoming a chef. You know, I think there's somebody in your family who's also a wonderful chef, which we may not mention his name, but he's a great man. But tell us about the food when you were growing up. What were the great dishes you still remember, you know, sat around the table?
Yeah, so I'm from a big family, so you're kind of always competitive about food, which definitely kind of fuels the appetite for it generally, because you're fighting over it. I'd say a lot of the memories, like mum kind of got a bit tired, you know, it was spag bol, chicken Kiev, you know, you name it, the classics. But my grandmother was really influential. She was a Kiwi, and she just celebrated cooking in the most beautiful way. You know, she'd have like flour everywhere, and she'd make kind of cinnamon buns, and she'd do this dish with, sounds really strange, but you should take wall sausages out of their skins and then coat it in breadcrumbs and fry them in a pan with some homemade apple sauce, and it's so banging with mashed potato. And she'd just, you know, always buy amazing ingredients. And I actually lived with her for 3 months in Australia, where my mum grew up, when I was about 12. And I think that really made a difference, because it was how we kind of connected and bonded. So, and she would let me do whatever I wanted, so I could make a mess, I could, you know, fail.
That's a very good formative cookery story.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Mrs. Christy Miller. I'm sorry that your repertoire got boring for your daughter. But.
No, mum got bored. She's actually amazing.
Oh, sorry, she
cook.
Got bored.
Repertoire.
She got bored. Just great. Like, fair enough. She's constantly churning out. But now, you know, she's an amazing natural cook as well.
What about school food? Memories of that?
Oh, God. No, not really.
Because there are some good things when you look back. Normally the ones which are more horrible, the better. Do you know what I mean? Pink icing, sort of like pink custard cakes and stuff like that. Delicious.
Yeah.
Sausage, beans, and what else was in there? Mash, but like a pie, a shepherd's pie, but with cut up cheap sausages, beans, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I kind of, the roast days are the ones that I think have filled me with dread, because when you'd have a roast day, because you'd get this like gravy, the Bisto gravy, and it just reminds me now, I really struggle having pub roasts because I can't deal with the whole like unified gravy thing.
Yeah, me too. I don't like roasts.
A roast.
I've never pinpointed it, but maybe that is.
I think that's an element. And also roast potatoes, like timing is so key. You can't just like, you know, have them.
Also, they absorb a lot of fat, roast potatoes. If you've got like a sensitive stomach, I think they're like an explosion of IBSness. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you have a sensitive stomach?
Yeah. Anyway, talking about sort of depressing foods. I mean, is there anything more depressing than people nowadays when you go around and you see in the meal deal section in Sainsbury's here in Vauxhall, an option is to have like a Huel for lunch.
Oh,
do you know
God.
What I mean? Like, how bad is that?
Yeah, that is that. I hate that so much. It really depresses me. It's like, but there are different kinds of people, and probably no one listening to this podcast would be one of those people.
No, hopefully not. Unless if you are, please turn off now.
Unless they're doing some like weird sadistic research. Yeah. But there are people who just eat to live.
Yeah.
And apparently Canary Wharf, the Holland and Barrett there, sells something like over 100 a day with a Huel.
I can believe that.
That's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, talking about nice drinks for a change, should we not have a Huel, but should we bring out another drink?
Yeah, I'll bring. Should I bring out a drink?
Yeah, please. Oh, if you've got a drink.
Exciting.
Yeah. And
when you do, from that wonderfully big khaki bag of yours, we're gonna just quickly ask Amelia what's her go-to cocktail to start off this drinks round.
Probably.
Don't know if you've heard the podcast, but this is how we start it.
So I actually, my go-to is a whiskey sour, which I did hear you have on the podcast, but with Lafroy.
Yeah, we had
obviously an error. It was a massive error.
Ben does make a lot of errors. You may find out today. But he also does some brilliant work.
I do mainly make errors with drinks.
Well, so that one was for Ben's Vegan Kitchen, wasn't it? And we did, you made a wonderful vegan egg kind of froth, but then
using
the
probably bean stock. Did you use aquafaba?
Yes, I used there we old go. Bean.
Stop it. Juice. Love that.
Yeah, yeah, real talk.
Well, that bit tasted amazing, but then, sorry, what do we have today?
Like, this is actually disgusting what I've done, because your previous.
Why do you always start every sentence with it's
because
disgusting?
I didn't know what sort of drink to make.
Okay.
I wasn't going to do frothiness.
You should have done.
Missed opportunity. That is my fave.
I should have done.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but you don't want to, like, because I realise in that he was a bit like cross about the fact that I'd given him frothy bean juice.
Why? He was lovely.
He was like, there's loads of vegan cocktails. Why do you have to
make one
with the frothy bean juice?
He appreciated it.
He didn't like the Lafroy. Okay. Anyway, my point is, thought there's no point.
No.
You are into seasonality.
Yes.
Regenerative farming.
Love it.
You're very clued up. I've done strawberries.
Oh my God. Love it. Frozen.
No, I bought fresh ones. So they got
fresh.
Almost no flavour.
That's fine.
I just had a craving. So I came back from, I was away last week and had a really difficult week.
Yeah.
For various reasons. I fell down the stairs holding my son and nearly.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was terrible.
That is
it's actually
terrible.
Not as deep as I'm making it sound, but it was bad.
No, but that's terrible.
Spent a night in hospital. And I just wanted something like bright and sunny.
Yeah. Especially in this like
some strawberries.
City. Oh, well, I have to say, I'm
that looks wonderful.
This looks
and put
right
some
up
rum
the
in
street.
There.
Oh my God, that looks.
And some lime juice.
So we're nearly in spring. Next week, we're officially in British Spring.
Oh, wait.
I think so. Or was it the week after? I think it's next week the spring starts.
These are spring.
And this is bringing some sunshine
season.
To the studio.
Love it.
Thank you, Ben. When we're about to taste that, let's ask you, when you are having people around, Amelia, what are your do you like to have dinner parties? And if you do, let's just quickly say cheers and actually give this a taste. Cheers. Cheers, Amelia. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
That's actually,
that is so good. I really like that.
Taste the Club Med, right? In a good way.
What I was going to do.
What does Club Med taste
like? I don't know. It tastes like that.
What I was going to do was like do like a, make it into a, what's the thing you used to get when you used to go swimming?
A
slush puppy.
Slushy. Do you know what?
And I couldn't do that.
This is amazing. Because the problem is with so many cocktails, they're just so sweet. Whereas that is like the perfect balance.
The balance is.
I love it.
Maybe the out of season strawberries.
Well done, Ben. A success after all
that's
that.
Great.
10 episodes in.
So tell us a minute. If you're having people around for supper, what are you doing on the side? Little snacks. We like to know about snacks on this podcast. You know, we're obsessed with a lot of things, but snacks is one of them. Tell us, what are you going to be laying out for people in spring?
So often I have to include beans in my menu because that's why people come. Mm. So I'll often do a
I hope that's not the only reason they come.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah. And normally I'd like blitz some beans. So make a kind of hummusy dip, but like not necessarily hummus because you can kind of mix it up. And what I love about, making a white bean dip or a butter bean dip or any bean dip, you know, when you've got those jars in the fridge of like a little bit of harissa or a little bit of like, I don't know, zug or an olive tapenade that like just sit there for months, what I tend to do is make the dip, add some olive oil to the jar, shake it up and then pour it on top of them. Everyone thinks you're a genius. They're like, oh my God, this is incredible. And then crucially, I don't serve it with crisps. I serve it with pita chips, Soffles pita chips.
I love those Soffles.
Because it's the perfect balance. You want the dip to be the star of the show. Mm. You don't want the crisps and they hold enough dip and it's crunch and it's perfect. Mm. So that is what I would say.
We debate that. I mean, people do make that mistake a lot, don't they? They put out a Torres crisp with a hummus.
Mm.
People should put out a
little. Who's going to win in that battle? The Torres crisp, probably.
Yeah, and
and what in terms of taste?
Yeah. Do you not think? Well, it depends where the hummus is from, but
well, it's just you don't want to have Torres in hummus.
No.
The whole point is you can appreciate them by themselves, and it's too oily. Like,
I think
you want something way more simple when you've got a good dip.
After Bold Bean Co., Soffles have probably had the second most successful kind of rollout I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, that's such a great brand. That's unbelievable. So sweet.
Maybe there could be a collaboration. I think I have had them, but I'm not as aware as I am with the Bold. Oh, really?
I actually find them really hard to get hold of. I wish they were in more. They're not in enough supermarkets for me. East so London. Any supermarkets listening.
Yeah, true. But East London, every corner shop has Soffles.
That's great.
Yeah.
So they've mastered East London. They're like a gang in the 1940s. They're slowly making their
Someone
way through London.
Someone needs to sort of like cross county lines. Go to Laverick Road.
With a huge, huge case of Soffles.
Yeah, yeah.
What about your go-to drink at a night out?
So I've got this problem where whenever I'm like going out or expected to like stay up late, I love food so much that I overeat and then I get too tired and all of that. So like I try and just keep my drinks really clean but quite lethal. So it'd be like tequila, soda and fresh lime, something like that, if I'm going out. And it's like I learned the hard way from like Negronis. Like I've just got to stick to something really clean, otherwise the next day will be terrible.
Morning drink of choice?
Morning, am I hungover or not?
Well, after that lethal combo, you probably are. But we will do hangover drink next. So morning drink, just on a normal morning.
Black coffee.
Black
coffee. But I love it. I'm a bit of a wanker about it.
Go and tell us.
So I have a subscription to a roastery in Margate called Curve, which is amazing. Mm.
Nice.
And yeah, my brother gave me a little grinder and I use an AeroPress. So I properly look like a bit of a...
Hand grind, or are you?
It's not. It's actually it's a button one, which is great.
What is it?
Oh my god, I'm gonna remember. It's that like main brand, and it's cost like 30 quid on.
Is it squarish?
Yes.
Krups.
Maybe.
Or not Krups.
It's square box, and then you pull out a little drawer, and it's perfect. Well. Oh, it's amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
And can you really tell the difference? I mean, I'm not a huge coffee drinker, but can you tell the difference that you're providing an elevated drink to your guests when you make something with that?
Well, if I'm... my guests won't get it in the AeroPress because that's too much of a faff. They'll get it at cafetière. But I definitely think grinding your beans fresh makes a big difference.
Okay, good. Another great tip. And then a hangover drink of choice. This time you are hungover.
Okay, banana milkshake. Fresh banana milkshake. Unbelievable.
Almost.
You know how passionate I am about milkshakes?
Yeah, no idea.
Yeah.
Your fridges.
So that's why I'm so excited.
Do you always make them yourself or?
So I buy a fridge.
A fridge. So wait, have you tried Shake Another though?
Yeah, I love
The chocolate one.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God. Yeah. That if I like can't be bothered to make one.
So if you're making how do you make it?
I won't make a chocolate one. I'll only make a banana one, which is like banana ice, milk, maybe ice cream if
honey?
I've got it.
Yeah.
It depends on how sweet the bananas are, but I just love it. It really hits the spot. But yeah, Shake Another, chocolate, whatever it is.
Banana milkshakes are amazing, aren't you?
They are.
Yeah.
Underrated.
Yeah, they're massively underrated. They're so good. Obviously, one of your biggest challenges, and you know, going back away from the drinks quickly, incredible work you've done with Bold Bean, is changing consumer behaviour. As you were saying earlier, people don't really know much about beans and eat many beans. How have you gone about doing that? Were you inspired by another brand? Like, what was your sort of
masterpiece? So I'd been working in food tech, and my when I was supplying restaurants, I was working in food supply chains in food tech.
We know it.
If I hadn't mentioned it earlier. And at that time, I was so convinced that tech was going to fix the food system. You know, there were brands like Provenance who were focusing on blockchain traceability. There were brands like Farm Drop who were like, you know, from the farm to your door. Yeah. Sadly, they've gone bust. And then this company I was working for didn't work out. And I had been like a tech believer. And then I was like, this is rubbish. Within that time, I'd seen Oatly, you know, completely transform consumer behavior. I was seeing kind of blokes I went to uni with having a kind of a bacon sandwich for breakfast and then having an oat milk flat white and then a macaroni cheese for dinner. It's like there was no string to whatever their dietaries were apart from the fact that Oatly was cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is genius because they've managed to make something exciting and fun and cool, but actually with a positive impact on kind of the planet, really. And that's kind of what I wanted to do. And I think also I'm an omnivore, I eat everything. And I don't want my plant-based eating to be a compromise from my eating. I just love food. So I'm not going to have like a bad version of a meal that I love using dairy and meat. It's just because I love food. I'd prefer just to have something different that celebrates plants. And I felt like there was a missing gap in that, is getting people to, you know, see what they can do with beans, because they can make uncompromisingly delicious meals that happen to be plant-based.
Yeah. Obviously, another way you sort of educated the masses was through that incredible cookbook, which we sort of touched upon earlier. But now I want to do a deep dive into it. You don't like picking favourites, but what are some of your favourite recipes in the book? If, you know, people did have to come across it and you're going like, right, here are three recipes which are going to change your, you know, change your mind about beans.
Okay, so I'd say miso beans. It's kind of, it's probably one of the dishes I make the most frequently. It's very simple, just like miso butter, whatever onion you have, like if you have a shallot, whatever. Add miso, melt it down, add your whole thing of beans, and then top it with, you know, some kimchi or some sort of Asian pickles, some chili oil.
You're a huge fan of kimchi.
I'm a huge fan. Put it on everything.
This is right up your street.
Yeah,
I got vexed about that last episode.
Sorry.
A fried egg, chili oil, some greens, whatever you have. Ugh. And it's just so nourishing and comforting. That's a cracker. Butterbean puttanesca as well. You basically make puttanesca sauce, but leave things a little bit more chunky.
For those uneducated, what's a puttanesca sauce?
Oh, sorry, anchovy, kind of olive, red onion, caper, tomato sauce. But to be honest,
sounds like one of David Angelos's.
Yeah, he's a great chef.
Yeah, he is.
He's my favourite chef.
And then third recipe that I think everyone should try is Sophie Wyberd's contribution, which is a sausage and butterbean like bake. And it is, everyone who tries it, just like it becomes one of their regular dishes. And I think that's a sign of a really...
Best sausage I've ever had. Max's sandwich shop, went there last week. The arrogance for the guy just to serve a sausage with a tiny bit of honey mustard. And I think on the menu it's written as just a big sausage.
Yeah.
And there's no sandwich for the sausage.
No. This is just like a little
starter. In the sandwich shop.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's incredible.
That is bold. That's a statement.
It is. Almost as big a statement as the Golden Gate Bridge. I mean, it was quite incredible. And what an amazing place, Max's sandwich shop. Have you been there?
I have. I love it.
Yeah.
Got the book. It's a good book. Of course. Yeah.
What's your go-to Max's sandwich shop book sandwich?
Do you know what? It was actually more of a... I gave it to my partner, and it was more of like a learning around the concept. So we live together. So
okay.
It's kind of like gave it to me.
Yeah.
But we did loads of them. But I kind of, what I love is actually the learnings from it around the kind of the concept of a sandwich and the kind of, it really shaped how we put together sandwiches. The pickle, the crunch, all of those sorts of elements coming together. So
I must say, the amount of pickle he put in everything there is amazing.
Yeah,
that's what my highlight was on last Wednesday.
Like sharp flavors,
pickles everywhere. Loved it.
Yeah,
I mean, next up, kimchi, and the guy's a winner.
Yeah,
in my book. Cookbooks. Just finishing on that, what are your favorite ones? Any Bibles you go back to? Apart from your own,
I'm like a Ottolenghi, you know, groupie. So I love his books, but particularly the plenty books, so the veggie books. And I would say recently it's Soph Godwin's Sundays. The concept is basically food you want to cook on a Sunday, and she divides it into whether you're feeling hungover, whether you're having a feast and people coming round, whether you're feeling like you want to detox and have something fresh and nourishing. And I find that so often Sundays is the day of the week where I feel like I've got that freedom to go out and buy some ingredients. I've got the time. So I tend to go back to it quite a lot.
Here's a controversial one. Where do you guys stand on sort of three meals on a Sunday? A lot of people get claustrophobic. I know a girl called Daisy, if she's listening, wonderful. She has to have three meals. Even if she has a late lunch, she needs to have that third meal just so her kind of body knows it's a real day. Sundays are a magical day where she doesn't know what's happened. Do you know what I mean? Where do you stand? Do you miss that third meal if you don't have it?
Yeah, I probably do. And even when I know I'm really full, but I'm like, but I want an excuse, because you want another excuse to eat.
Exactly.
And, you know, on a Sunday, I definitely...
I remember being a child, like, terrified that we wouldn't have an evening meal.
I'm not confined to being a child for me.
Really?
Well, because also, I like we were talking about earlier, I have ditched the Sunday roast.
Yeah, I hate it.
I don't. It's not really my vibe.
No.
And so therefore, you are just eating, because Sunday roast can be a massive meal, and I understand... That maybe you have an egg in the evening.
Yeah.
But if you're not doing that, you're just having a normal meal. It does annoy me when people then ditch supper.
Yeah. What are we having for supper? Oh, there isn't any supper tonight, Fred. It's just bed time. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Those are flashbacks.
Dark flashbacks.
Let's move on to your go-to foods, Amelia, if you allow us to. Ben, are you going to bring out some little sort of bean-based snacks or something?
Yeah, go on.
As you look into your bag, hoping to find something?
I've made a round of sandwiches.
Oh, my God. Is it coronation?
Coronation chickpea.
Oh my God, love it. Love it. Yes. You see, that was definitely in our cookbook. When I wrote that recipe, I was very inspired by Max's Sandwich Shop for the Bombay mix on top.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I might have even mentioned it in the book.
I think you did, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, also, I love the plating of it as well. Very afternoon tea. As you remove your cling film, why don't you tell us what your go-to delivery order is, Amina?
Ramen.
Whoa.
Tonkotsu.
Yeah.
I've tried Canada Yar because I know people think that's better, but I don't think it's better. I don't think they give you enough freebies, and I think there's too many noodles. There's not a good ratio, so tonkotsu is my go-to.
Tonkotsu ramen, okay. Dish you cook the most midweek?
Miso beans, probably.
Miso beans?
Yeah.
They're a winner.
They're a winner, and you've always kind of got miso. I've always kind of got a pot of kimchi and some eggs. I've always got the ingredients.
Mm. I feel people are scared of miso.
Do you think?
Are they?
I do, yeah. Because I used to write a lot of recipes with/for Mira Soda for her Guardian column.
Oh, very cool.
And when the miso is definitely like a...
divisive
item. With it. Wow. Not careful, because you use it a lot in vegan cookery, but... because you've got light miso, dark miso. And I think people get scared.
I totally get that.
In terms of miso.
Do you know what? I put white miso in the recipe, but I've definitely used other misos. I don't really sweat about it.
I like that. I admire that.
You're not sort of a miso panic attacker.
I am.
What about the three-course meal if someone was coming around for supper? Okay. What are you going
to
do?
So I always like to do pasta. And the reason being is that a lot of people kind of, you know, there's this expectation because I'm inviting them around that they're like, I've got to put together a masterpiece and, you know, impress them. And I feel quite intimidated by that. And I don't want it to like put me off hosting. Whereas I feel like as soon as you're hosting with pasta, it sets a tone for like, this is relaxed, you know, tones it down and lowers expectations to an extent.
And then you blow their minds.
And then you do a banging pasta because pasta's amazing. So I'd normally do a starter, which would maybe do like a kind of really fresh salad. I'd probably use the collard peas. I love the collard peas with a kind of, you know, finely chopped red onion, lots of herbs, a kind of vinaigrette, butter, lettuce or something. Just like a really fresh salad. Start that and then go into kind of like a smoky chili vodka rigatoni that's like so rich.
So good.
And if you're feeling really like... bougie, then you could have it with some like burrata, which is like completely over the top, but you know, maybe you're subtly trying to go a little bit over the top. And then pudding, I love making lemon posset because it's just really easy. It's sharp, it's creamy, and I feel like you've always got room for it. And I think that's the danger with pudding.
What's so funny, anyone who's come on the pod who has done catering and stuff before, Lemon posset. Always the same.
It's so easy.
You're obsessed with it as well, aren't you?
It's because it's the easiest thing.
It's so easy.
Basically sets itself. Tastes like, you know.
Same with panna cotta. Apparently there's a bit of a backlash against how many restaurants have panna cotta on the menu because it's so easy. Yeah. And everyone's like, hold on guys, work harder.
Yeah, try at least make an effort, yeah.
This is delicious. You've got the Bombay mix.
No Bombay mix. Also, no, I couldn't find any mango. I wanted to put some mango chutney.
Well, Emily, can you please
try?
Thank you.
It's like, you know, I'm out here grinding.
Yeah, you're doing a very good job. But you missed two of the crucial ingredients.
I missed two
crucial ingredients. But it is very tasty.
It's not as tasty as it could
be. Can you take us through what's in this?
Bulb bean chickpeas.
Best.
Mayo, yogurt, curry powder, lime juice, some other stuff.
Love it.
But I actually filmed it.
The bread's good.
Did you?
The bread's great, yeah.
Well, it's good.
Where's the bread from?
Should I say I made it?
Did you actually?
I didn't, but I think it's a better story if I say I made it.
Yeah.
Well, we had a bread disaster last week, didn't we?
We did, yeah. It's actually put me off. Yeah. Probably for at least 2 or 3
crumpet.
Weeks.
You're the first man in the world to invent a focaccia crumpet.
Yeah.
Wow. I actually quite liked it. I'm not sure Sam was a...
No, he was actually borderline angry about it.
He was quite angry. What about hangover cure in a food sense? Obviously, we found out earlier in your sort of drinking sense, you'll have a banana milkshake. But what about food?
Okay, so I would have sourdough toast, cream cheese, then Asian pickled cucumbers, and then fry an egg in like sesame and chili oil, really crispy, have that on top. Honestly, it's out of this world.
You can tell you live in Notting Hill, that's amazing.
It's actually, I can't take credit. It's my husband's recipe, but it is so good.
That does sound amazing.
And it hits every spot.
Well, I mean, I think that's probably the best hangover food cue we've ever heard.
You're the only
most people just go McDonald's, don't they? Exactly. Fucking every single week. Yeah. Can you stop saying, if you come on the show, stop saying McDonald's.
Yeah.
I'm sick and tired of it. What about your favourite meal deal combination, just to lower the tone?
I'd probably say like hoisin wrap, sultan. Sultan, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know, but it's reliable. You know?
For sure.
Meal deals aren't often reliable.
No.
And then I am one of those people who tries to see where I can get the most bang for my buck and like try and just do a bit of maths. It wastes a lot of time. I should really think about the value of my time in that.
You're missing trains because you just want to get that value.
But I would say typically I'd like a kind of sparkling sort of I don't know, probably a kombucha actually. And then salt and vinegar kind of crinkle cut crisps or just something really salty and vinegary,
yeah.
Which I feel like the best I've found, which aren't in Milldale, are Co-op's.
That's very true.
Salt and vinegar crisps.
They are amazing.
They're the best.
That's the secret. Do you drink beer? Do you enjoy lager? Do you go down the pub? Do you have a pack of crisps and beer or not?
I'm new to beer.
Right. How are you finding it?
So I'm feeling really cool because it's taken me 30 years to get into beer. And I went on holiday with one of my girlfriends from Mexico and the margaritas out there, disappointingly, were rubbish.
Really?
And they were just like massive slushies. Yeah. And she was drinking Coronas and she was like, honestly, just give it a go. And then I was trying it and now I feel really cool drinking my beer. So yeah. I'm new, but you know.
Well, welcome.
I feel like a 13-year-old.
Quite exciting. Got it all ahead of you.
You've obviously built such an incredible empire over the last couple of years. I mean, it really is amazing. But what are the kind of the biggest life lesson you've learned in that time? What's been the greatest high and the biggest low so far?
I would say the highs are like that. They're almost kind of weekly. There are so many small wins, and they come through things like people around you being as excited about the wins as you are. Like when you start alone, those make a difference. But also like Jella posting us on Friday, that was huge. And also when someone just emails in and says, oh my god, my husband hated beans and now he loves them, and things like that. Those tiny little moments, they are what keep you going, and you need that because there are a lot of really hard parts. I'd say the hardest part is the risk and the uncertainty, which like it gets easier. As it gets easier, the risks get bigger and a bit more boring, if that makes sense. So they're like a bit more forward planning, like 18 months. Like what if the harvest runs out and you need to secure up supply and blah, blah, blah. And all of these sort of processes, which, you know, I'm not thinking of front of mind. You know, the people around me are being like, you need to think of this. And I'm like, okay, right, we need to do this. But I think it's the risks and uncertainties early days, which can make it really hard. And also the failure. But to be honest, I try and forget about the hard parts because it's just not, like, it's not worth dwelling on it because they happen the whole time. And like, we've just got a mentality like, you mess up, well, you're going to mess up at some point. At least you've done it now and you can learn from it. And we kind of have that philosophy. And I think it's a great way to live. Just think, we were going to fuck this up at some time. Yeah. Now we just need to like crack on with it. Yeah.
Have you gone back to the potential investors who laughed at you when you mentioned beans, water and salt with sort of jars in your hand and a middle finger raised?
No, but
we're free to come and help you do that, carry beans.
For sure.
I definitely think about them. So like part of me, I remember speaking to a female founder like last week about an investor who just, you know, mugged her off. And I was like, honestly, weirdly, they're like your fuel. You think about them in years to come. You're like, I'm kind of doing this to like,
spite you.
And they're like, they've completely forgotten about you. They don't care about you anymore. Yeah. But they're actually fuel. Those rejections are fuel. So I think they're good. You need a few.
Yeah, nice.
How far can you go on the bean scale? Like, because obviously you're bringing out new products like the wonderful Queen Carlin piece. But I mean, like, can you start doing other things? Have you thought about doing other things which are sort of brothers and sisters to beans?
I'm not ready to diversify from beans, but I think there's so much you can do with beans. So I can see us moving into lots of different categories, just like celebrating the beans in different forms.
Like meal kits or meals, or like, have you had offers from other people? I can imagine a lot of people come to you and want to kind of profit off the incredible business you've made, Bold Bean Co. But have you had any interesting things which you can kind of reveal to us, you've thought about, you may not have thought about?
Yeah, I mean, that's very kind. We have big dreams to, you know, I would love to do a kind of a ready meal with someone using our beans. But one of the challenges we have is that, like, the reason why our beans are so good is you don't actually have to do much to them.
Yeah.
So, like, suddenly putting them in a tikka masala ready meal is a bit like...
Yeah. No, that would be an insult.
It could be an insult. Yeah, I mean, it would be really good and maybe priced accordingly. And the problem is with a lot of, you know, supermarket products is they're beaten down on price, particularly convenience foods, because, you know, no one's paying 12 quid for a ready meal. No. So I think there are some challenges there, but I'm also, you know...
Truck on the road. Mob kitchen-esque. Go to festivals, or maybe not festivals, but go to like Wilderness Food Festival, right? Well, who came on? Aaron Milton, and said like, you got to pay fucking 400 quid a day and you get to eat someone's food.
Yeah.
Something like that. Take a bowl of bean truck down there.
Love that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, love that.
Bring Ben out retirement as head chef.
Yeah.
These are just ideas I'm coming up with here.
Are there beans that you've got in the pipeline? Because you haven't touched every bean yet.
Yes, I have. I don't know if I can reveal this. When's this coming out?
Next week.
Next week. I can't reveal them on here, but I would say, here's a clue.
Exclusive, yeah.
Here's a clue. There's some obvious things that are going to come out. I think, why don't you have a go? Do you want to just guess? What bean are we missing? I feel like your chef, you should be able to guess.
Yeah, come on.
And I won't say anything.
Why not?
Because you can tell maybe by my facial expression, and then, you know, you can interpret whether you can reply.
Have you got a Paolotti bean yet?
Ah.
That's a very good facial expression, which gave nothing away.
But if this is coming out next week, I have got some exclusive news.
Oh, go on.
Go on then.
So, next Thursday, so this Thursday.
Yes.
We've got a date to it.
I'm going to be on national television.
Oh my God.
On Dragon's Den.
Actually,
oh my God. What, pitching or as a judge?
Pitching. Imagine.
Well, I don't know.
Bartlett can do one.
Yeah, I've taken over from Bartlett.
That's happened though.
So I filmed it like 9 months ago. So it's been crazy.
But why did you guys go on that? Because did you want the sort of, well, I'm guessing tradition they go in because they want Peter Jones to get them to Sainsbury's. But you're already in loads of supermarkets now. Was this
This was ages ago now.
So you've got a deal because you've obviously got the deal on Dragon's Den.
Well, maybe not. You'll have to tune in.
Company's house. Does anyone have Wi-Fi in here?
Yeah.
We're going to see who's...
No, it's a really interesting process. It was amazing to go on, and I felt like there was so many learnings, and it was just incredible to be in a TV studio and all of that. But it took so much. There was so much prep. You know, you can imagine everyone around me like practicing my numbers and thinking of like, you know, the design of the set that we were going to have. And then afterwards, there's a lot because you actually don't know if you're going to be aired on telly. But if you get aired on telly, you can like 6x your sales in 1 month. So suddenly you're getting all these people to your website buying
stuff. Can I buy shares now or not?
Yes.
And what's crazy about that is that you need to prepare for that. You need to order in enough stock and give yourself enough time frame. But then you might not get aired.
Be on telly.
I got a call last week confirming. But we didn't know until last week. So we were given 2 weeks, basically. Luckily, we're just taking that risk and being like, let's just imagine we are. Because, you know, I was like, I think there was enough TV gold to be there. But it was really hairy. And
toe-to-toe with a couple of dragons?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah.
Who did you take on?
So I would say I'm not a big fan of Peter Jones. But I
really?
Don't know.
No.
Yeah. Me not neither. A big fan of him. He was a little twat.
Little worm.
Yeah. 6'9" worm. Yeah.
Actually, pretty big fans of the rest. I think they didn't like, I don't know if I should say this, but it's, you know, a few days, whatever. They don't like beans. None of them liked beans. So it was really hard.
Is Gary Neville in your life?
Gary's gone.
What?
Yeah. Well, he's no longer in the den.
Why?
I think he was just on for a couple of eps.
He's my favourite human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
not even Stephen Bartlett.
Stephen Bartlett likes beans.
I thought Bartlett likes anything. Bartlett likes anything which is kind of the moment and cool and successful, doesn't he?
I know. Maybe, you know, he didn't think. So maybe, you know, maybe. Well, actually, shit, I'm not supposed to say anything.
No, don't say anything.
It was an amazing experience. But it is quite nerve-wracking because I haven't seen it. So the first time I'll see it will be Thursday night
when
everyone else sees it. So I'm prepared. All of the things is like, you're going to get like hate mail.
No,
like,
you won't.
People.
Why are you going to get hate mail?
Because apparently, regardless of how
you're being.
Yeah. Well, it's just like that people always have something to say. It's like, have you ever gone viral on TikTok?
We've gone semi-viral.
Did you get any haters in the comments?
No. We did. Haters, maybe, right? Yeah, it was only haters.
It's actually the haters that fuel the virality.
Yeah.
I had a viral video and...
What were you doing?
It was such a rubbish video. It was like early days. Basically, I thought I was being really clever and I got my number on the first labels of the jar being like, text our founder for a recipe. And I was like, that's so cute. I'll like set up a separate phone, like blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I got a separate phone, really organized, plugged in the number and put in the SIM when I had them ready to go. And called up EE and was like, oh, can I just like activate this account? And they're like, oh yeah, you didn't actually use it for 6 months, so you no longer have access to that number.
Ugh.
So I got it like printed on all these jars and I did a little like video, like, I don't know, using something. And it went viral and everyone was like, you did this to go viral. And like, I can't believe you did that, you're lying. And I was like, why would I lie about that?
Yeah.
But like, you know, it's you know, the haters actually fuel the virality. So, you know, for example, when we did You'll Never Eat a Roast Potato Again, it triggered so many people, but thank you to them because it helped our recipe go viral.
Well, you're doing some incredible things.
Well, we'll guarantee some haters on this episode.
We're going to try and get as much hate as possible.
That's such a good point.
We're going to finish off by going through your locations. Emily, you've been absolutely wonderful. Is there anything else to bring bean-wise or not?
There's always more to bring.
There's more bean-wise.
But I mean, it's,
what?
Well, we've already talked about it. I made a little like thing that I think I cropped up on Nigella once.
Oh, nice.
It's really delicious.
What is it?
Well, I'm going to get it out of my little box.
Spin the answer.
I like your... I like that.
He's got great packaging.
If that's the right word. Milko, R.I.P.
What, is that
I use it
dyed?
To keep my son's milk cold.
Oh.
Nice.
You spend a lot of your days keeping drinks cold or hot, don't you? Sort of...
Depressing. Yeah, I do, yeah.
But you do a wonderful job at it. So what is under that tin foil?
Beans.
Love it.
Some little forks out.
Okay.
You want more details, don't you?
Well, ideally. I mean, the listeners are listening and they can't see, so... It's not a great podcast if we just say beans.
Top with breadcrumbs. Bold bean cannellini beans with, like, super sweet onions.
Mmm.
Breadcrumbs.
Wow.
Gruyere, parmesan, cheddar. Do you know the recipe? Oh.
No, I don't.
And I got on the train and it's all gone to the side of this thing.
Oh, that's
oh
okay.
Yeah.
That happens. Whose recipe is it?
Wow.
Amelia's, I think.
Oh, she doesn't even know her own
recipe,
ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know.
That's what happens.
What's it called? Like, what's the dish called?
That's what happens when you get successful.
I don't know what the
sweet onions, parmesan.
Is it from the cookbook?
It's off Nigella's recipe, but she claims it's from your cookbook.
Oh, so, I know. It's actually, it isn't my recipe. It's Ali Flegel. It's a white bean bake. It's a French onion white bean bake by Ali Slagle. Like,
that's exactly what it is.
Yes. No. It's a great recipe. So Ali is an American chef and does...
Well, sample it.
You don't have to eat it.
And actually, it's a really good...
But you're being...
You should try it, Freddie.
I'm going to try it as well.
You can do it with the collard peas, which is really good as well.
I'm just going to quickly ask...
So good.
Ali. Who knew?
Ali Slagle.
Shout out to Ali. I'm going to quickly ask, because we're going to go through your locations. Okay. What is your go-to weeknight restaurant? Nothing fancy, but you keep going back.
I live in Northwest London, so it's probably Ida or Ida. I never know how to pronounce it. I-D-A. It's like this tiny family-run Italian place where they, you know, serve like carafes of wine, kind of like old candles in wine bottles and that kind of vibe. Yeah, and nice. It's pretty reliable.
What do you eat?
Pasta. They do, you know, a ragu, which is just delicious, and quite simple, you know, bruschettas and things like that, but it's just kind of really just hits.
What's the
spot.
Coolest freebie you've got, being sort of the boss of Bold Bean? No, honestly, I'm actually being like, I'm
coolest freebie. That's a really good question. I actually did better when I was supplying restaurants, because you become you know, friendly with the chefs, and then you know, they'd be like, come around, and you're like, really?
What do you like to receive?
What do I like to receive?
No, what would you like to receive?
What would I
see
like
if
to
we can
receive?
Sort that out.
Wow, this is such an opportunity. I like really need to think about this. Okay, so
probably got to be bean adjacent though.
Yeah.
Do you think? I kind of have quite a lot of beans.
Yeah. For the last thing you want. This is very good, Ben. By the way.
Oh, I know. I got sent a an all our place pan. That was a real novelty. That was a real novelty, and that was like, oh my god, I can't believe it. What's the catch? But yeah, so that was fun and free.
Quite exciting.
Okay, that's amazing.
Do you want to know the only free thing I've ever been sent?
Yeah, please.
Bold beans.
No, really.
Like you, yeah.
What?
Well, it might not have been you. It was
no, it was me. Yeah. It was me.
Was it?
Well, I'm amazed you don't get more. You're a
when were
writer.
You sent that?
No, but because I'm like a mucky one in the shadows.
When were you sent the beans?
Max gets loads of stuff. Mira gets loads of stuff. I don't get anything. I think when our last cookbook came out, maybe, or I don't know why. You
said I am obviously a fan of the cookbook as well. Yeah. So you know.
Well, we've got some beans here today. If we can keep them, I don't know if we get
these. This is for you guys. So
okay, wonderful. We've got some free beans. Favorite place for a special supper.
A special.
Yeah,
supper.
This isn't midweek. This is special. Special occasion. Where are you going?
I would actually not be in London. Is that okay?
That's absolutely fine.
Whatever you want.
So I went to a place called Glebe House in Devon before Christmas, and just had the most amazing meal. And the service was incredible. The storytelling was amazing. The atmosphere, it feels like you're in someone's home. Well, you kind of are in someone's home.
They grew up there.
Yeah, right? The owners grew up there. But the chef, Sam, he's just really talented and just really engaged. And you just feel it. You feel the love in the room. And you also aren't rushed. And I think that's key to a really special experience.
What was the best thing you ate there? Can you remember anything you actually ate?
Probably some ravioli was really good. Everything was just beautiful.
Right, and best place for a date. I'm going to pass the producer a sandwich.
I think.
Want some. I think it is. A bean as well.
Yeah. I'm going to give him a bit more. Yeah, you start with sandwiches.
I think the best place for a date, I think on a date, you want to be a little bit distracted in case it's awkward. So you need other stuff to like talk about and reference. So I'd say you want to be a bar. So I'd say somewhere like the Barbary. It's quite like, you know, sexy and kind of central London. So it depends on where they live. It's probably easy to go back.
Lots of distractions everywhere. Always handy. What about your go-to pub, Amelia?
The Cow. Probably quite unoriginal, but it's just heaven.
Yeah. I think we have that from Georgie? Did you say the Cow Notting Hill? Was the Cow Notting Hill? Yeah. Oh, fair play. You know, it's obviously a great place. What about, weirdly, your go-to order in a cinema if you weren't doing popcorn? This is something we only bring out for very special guests.
It is.
Minstrels. Because you can kind of play around with them. You can crunch them immediately or you can kind of let them go melt a bit and then play around.
Yeah, depending what's happening in the film.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about the best pizza in town? Where are you getting it?
I am not getting it in London.
Okay, that's absolutely fine.
I'm getting it in Barcelona.
Okay.
Parking pizza. And oh my God, they did this incredible pizza without cheese, which, you know, is tomato-based, just really beautiful tomato pulpo and anchovies. And that was it. And oh my God, it's just incredible. I've never had a pizza better than that.
So. Parking pizza.
Parking pizza. And they also do parking pitta, and they do these epic pittas. It's so cool and really recommend it. It's a great place.
Oh, incredible. Nice. If you like your bread-based snacks, that sounds
absolutely wonderful.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't, yeah.
Yeah, true. What about a bar, club, or venue that's never let you down?
Italo, which isn't either of those, but I'd say Italo.
The sandwich one that's right here. Yeah.
That has just got everything to offer. If I needed something around my corner, it would be something like that, because it would nourish you on a kind of daily, weekly basis. Yeah. And that's kind of what you want from a hospitality venue.
Ever-changing menu as well. Just two sandwiches. If you go in the day, two sandwiches to choose from. Yeah. Well, we don't care if you don't like them.
Yeah.
Is what they would be saying if you didn't like him. But yeah. What about your dream long weekend getaway?
Okay, and
itinerary.
Okay, itinerary. Okay, so what I would say is, because this is dream worthy, I would be camping on the Friday night, but somewhere epic that we're not going to get told off by anyone.
No.
And cooking camping, because I always think cooking camping, it tastes better. You feel like you earned it and you can be a bit creative. You can get a few nice bits and do something wicked. And then the next day I'd want to like walk to or hike to a place that I stay for a night, which is slightly bougie. So the next one on my list that I haven't been to, and hopefully we'll go to one day, is like Up Down Farmhouse. I really want to go to that. Somewhere which just like prioritizes food and has rooms, but the food is like the focus. And then I'd go there for a night and, you know, like spend in the bar, like it's not your money. Like, you know, just go for it on the cocktails. That would have to happen because that's a real treat. Have a big meal and then, Sunday just kind of chill, walk, read the newspaper.
But not have a roast?
Maybe not have a roast. Yeah, probably wouldn't.
I couldn't work out. Did you hate roast as much as Ben and I or not?
No, I don't. I like my mum's roast, but that's it.
Only thing of your mum's you like. Poor Mrs. Christy, but if you're listening, we're so sorry. Amelia's abused you all episode. Of all the food you mentioned, Amelia, you've been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in. We wish you the best of luck. But of all the food you mentioned, you can pick three to save, right? Okay. From the miso beans to the pizza to the whatever you've chosen. What are you going to...
Okay, I'm going to go for banana milkshake.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to go for butterbean puttanesca.
Mm.
And then... I suppose I can't really. I was going to go for chocolate mousse, but we haven't mentioned that. But
well, you can mention it before
I'm
we put it in.
Chocolate mousse.
Yeah, so.
Chocolate mousse.
Just mentioned it.
Ahead of the lemon posset.
Yeah, do you know what? With that combination, yes.
Where's the lemon best chocolate mousse you've had?
Was after vodka rigatoni. Best chocolate mousse I've ever had. Oh my God, where was it?
There's a place in Paris. Chez Genoux. Brings it out in a huge bowl.
Yeah, I ruined that. My sounds 10-year great. Anniversary there.
Why?
I ate about half that bowl and then
you violently
the guts went, yeah.
Oh, God.
No, I know, it's horrible. Sorry, ruined your meal.
No, don't apologise. Yeah, I think probably my favourite chocolate mousses have probably been ones that people have homemade. They're the ones that come to mind, so.
What is the secret, just to finish off, as a chef, to a good chocolate mousse? Go on.
I don't know.
Oh, for fuck's sake. That's an awful way to end it.
What I'll do, I stole a recipe from a French woman when I was doing a catering event for E5 Bakery in London.
Mm.
Maybe we can put that in the notes. I don't know why it's so good.
Okay.
I have to analyse it.
Okay, maybe you can make it as well.
I'll make it. Yeah,
and we'll put it on the Instagram.
There's a lot of different methods, and it gets quite like technical, like wanky over. But to be honest, you can't really go that wrong with something that's moussey and chocolatey. However,
you don't want it too dense, though.
Yeah, you need to get that's true. Well, but you could have it dense if there's a small amount, and that's like you're having like a shot glass. Yeah, so it depends.
God, there's so many different ways to have chocolate mousse. And as you guys think about that, we thank Amelia for coming in and being absolutely wonderful. We wish you the best of luck in Bold Beans, and we'll all be tuning in on Thursday to watch you get a big investment, probably from who do we think it was? Probably Stephen Bartlett.
I think it's Bartlett
on Thursday in Dragon's Den. Thank you so much for coming, Amelia, and good luck, guys. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, comment, 5 stars ideally, and we'll see you all next week.
Thanks, Amelia.